we are very thankful for that. A lady that we, a boy that we bring in our bus routes, his mom, she made a profession of faith in Christ and others as well. So we're very, very thankful for what the Lord is doing. So there's much work to be done. I believe that there's a harvest waiting, but we must be patient for the Lord because He's the one that will give the fruit in the harvest in His time. And we thought, and because this that man and his the man's brother that was in the church, he had been in the church quite a few times. He'd heard the gospel preached, but he had to arrive in a place to a place in his life where the Lord worked and he accepted Christ. And this lady who came, she accepted Christ in the Lord's timing. And we're just praying that God will use these people and continue to help them to grow. Just another thing maybe about the daily life and how the Lord's worked in a specific way. There was another lady, the mom of one of our newly saved ladies in our church. And she had passed away. And that was a blessing in and of itself. She passed away on the very day that she passed away in the afternoon. I had the opportunity to present the gospel to her for 20 minutes in the morning. And that we know of, that was the first time in her life that she'd ever heard the gospel. And she had been bitter and not open to hearing, but the Lord worked in her heart. And we went, and I don't know that I prayed. I encouraged her and I urged her to seriously consider and trust Christ as her Savior. But just that afternoon, after I witnessed to her, she went home. I pray that she went to heaven. But as time went on, of course, the Catholics have their little ceremonies that they do. And I believe there was a 10-day Mass that they wanted to do. And these were new believers. And they said, well, the family wants to do it, so we're going to do it. And Pastor, would you come with us to this Catholic church and participate in this? And I said, boy, oh boy, I really don't want to go to this, but how? Ask the Lord, what should I do? But it's amazing how the Lord kind of works those things out. You don't even have to, I was wondering, how am I going to get out of this? I don't really want to go. But I was traveling down to the church on a public transportation. Public transportation there is very interesting, to say the least. They have buses, and they cram people on buses. Sometimes you get a seat. Sometimes you're in the aisle. Sometimes you're almost falling off the bus. I had that happen a few times, too. But I was there on the bus, and they have to get to the front seat up here, they have a little area that covers up the motor there in the front. And in order to get across the seat, you have to kind of climb across and get up to the front. Well, I was going across there, and the bus made an unexpected stop. And I went falling backwards off that little rise and fell back and banged my head on the floor there in the bus. So it was kind of unnerving and embarrassing to begin with. You got a bunch of people and nobody offered me a hand or anything. I'm just kind of, oh, this crazy gringo, what in the world is he thinking doing getting on this bus with us? But I just kind of got up and got in my seat. But then later on in the day, I started having concussion-like symptoms. And I said, I called the people up and said, I don't believe that I'm going to be able to go tonight. So the Lord gave me a good excuse why I didn't have to go to the Catholic Church. And they said they did things, passed something around, a baby doll or something, and did some things. But they're lost in their traditions and other things. But just how the Lord works, and I don't blame those folks who have concussion problems. I could not think the next day. I said, I'm losing my mind. Lord, you need to help me. But it lasted for a day or two, and thankfully I got better after that. But just a couple small stories from our ministry there. We'd love to talk with you afterwards. Please take a prayer card and pray for us. We definitely need your prayers. If you'll go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, I'd love to look into the Word of God for a few moments tonight. I thank Pastor Samples for the opportunity to preach. And you don't know how many times that the services at this church have been an encouragement to me down in Peru. And you know, I'm there in Peru, you don't have the opportunity to hear many other people preach. Of course, now with the national pastor, that's changed a little bit now, and I get to hear preaching on Sunday morning, and I'm preaching as well. But there was a time when I was preaching three times a week. And I could tell you that Pastor Samples would tell you that we need to hear as preachers be edified ourselves and encouraged, and to hear preaching and exhortation and teaching. And how many times that I heard a message that encouraged my heart and was a blessing in turn to the folks down in Peru who were in turn blessed by that. And I'm thank the Lord for that and His precious Holy Spirit. If you look with me, Ezekiel chapter 22, in verse number 30, to focus in on this one verse tonight and take a few thoughts out of here. It says in verse number 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. But I found none. Ezekiel's speaking here, and it's actually, if you read the whole chapter, it's a rather sad story. He's speaking to the children of Israel. He begins and he addresses the pastors and the priests. And he talks to them about their difficult and their lost condition. He talks to them about how that they were perverting judgment, how that they weren't preaching the Bible in a right way. And what did it boil down to? They began to get other gods along with the God. I believe that the children of Israel, a lot of times we say, well, they just put God aside, didn't think about him, didn't do anything. But I believe, honestly, that they had God here, but they had many other gods along with them. And they said, well, God will come to church, but we want money, and we want this, we want that. We find that they got to the point where they were either killing people. They were not, instead of doing the Lord's work and loving people and encouraging and preaching the word of God to people, they were actually killing and desiring and getting and wanting, and all in the guise of religion, all in the guise of we came to church and we're all right. But God here is questioning their heart. He's questioning their heart. And you know, I believe that God has at the very core of his being, God desires for our hearts to be right with him. He desires for us to be pleasing in that way. And that's why I believe that God sees. It doesn't say that God was saying, come on, people, get together. I need to have some people who stand up and do right. He says, I'm seeking for a man among them that should make up the hedge. It says, it's interesting, the words of Scripture where it says, I sought for a man among them. It was, if you look at it, it's the people of the land in the verse 29, but there wasn't anybody. According to the people of the land had gone astray because the church leaders and the church people, they weren't doing right. And thus the other people, they weren't doing right. And God said, I'm searching for somebody who will stand in the gap, who will do right. And what is this gap? It's actually an opening. It's actually a place where something is lacking and someone needs to stand and to fill. But you think about standing in the gap, and it's a job that's not a physical job. And we think of perhaps folks who have gone and served in our military, and we've thanked the Lord for that and been faithful in that way. But here this standing is a spiritual standing, one who will stand spiritually in the gap. There was just a few months ago, I was at a place, and a pastor was sharing a testimony how he had visited a gentleman in the church, and this man was struggling with cancer and in the hospital and really having a bad time. But he said, Pastor, don't you feel sorry for me. God has improved my quality of life by being in here. And he was just witnessing to all the nurses, to all the doctors, had a great spirit about everything. And it was clear that he was standing, even though he was weak physically, his spiritual state was good. He was there with the Lord and the Lord was helping him. And I believe that that is what the Lord desires for each and every one of us. But God is seeking. God is seeking. I believe this is an ongoing process. And maybe some people think, well, he's searching for a more educated person than I am, or a more qualified person than I am. But you know, God is looking for those who will simply give their lives to him and say, Lord, I'll be willing. Would you teach me, Lord, how to stand? Would you teach me how to accomplish this task? Because I know it's an impossible task without your help. And that's what we're teaching our dear folks in Peru, that you know what? We're all going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. We're all sinners saved by grace. You know, we're all, sometimes we want to say, I got up and would preach sometimes and would say, well, you need to, this is what the Word of God says. But I'd be tempted to say, you know, we've heard this so many times. This is so simple, such a Bible principle that I've heard for a long time. And it seems that it would be easy to understand and to do. And can't you do it? But you know, the people don't understand. They don't come from a godly background, many of them. And anyway, it's the Spirit of God that must needs get a hold of their lives and teach them and help them to stand. It's wonderful to see a young believer mature in the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing. It's a great thing to see the Holy Spirit do a work in their life. It says, but God is seeking for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. This is a great a great dilemma here, because it's not just, well, if you want to stand up, it'll be okay. If not, then everything's going to be okay, fine and dandy as well. It says here that if the person, if we don't stand, if God doesn't find somebody, that God is going to destroy. God is going to destroy. But there's a principle and a thought that a dear Chilean pastor who came through our area just the last Sunday before we came back to the States, and he preached shared in Sunday school and gave some, just a very sweet spirit. But he kind of, and I saw this for the first time, that literally as we stand and as we intercede before God, the billows of the wrath of God are flowing out. But as he hears God's people pray, God actually refrains and stops that judgment from coming. He has people who are standing. And you know, you could think of examples throughout the Word of God. Think of examples, and you think of the man Moses. You remember the man Moses? Moses was a great man of God, but he was up there on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And he was up there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down, it was evident that he had been with the Lord. And I believe that's what I desire for my life. What I got from the message this morning, one of the phrases the pastor said was that the prayer life should be a fellowship. It should be something that we are just every moment of the day speaking with the Lord and asking him that he would guide us and that he would help us. I believe that Moses had a great fellowship with the Lord right there in that place. But something happens. God says, as Moses is about ready to descend down from the mountain, he says, you know, Moses, I'm really, really upset with these people, and I'm going to destroy them. And Moses maybe was taken aback and said, Lord, but why? Why might that be, Lord? And he said, but you don't know, but they've turned aside. And that's right when Aaron set up the golden calf. And they were worshiping, and they were instead of the worshiping the Lord, they had gone aside and worshiped other things. And Aaron was the ringleader in it and set it all up. And God said, I'm very displeased, and I'm going to destroy. Hey, Moses, I'm going to make you a wonderful nation. I'm going to raise your family up. And instead of saying, Lord, why didn't you just do it? I believe that I would have my family, and it would be wonderful, a privilege, opportunity. But he said, no, Lord, please, do not destroy these people. Do not destroy these people. You know, Lord, remember your covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember that, Lord? And the Lord hadn't forgotten, by the way. And the Lord hadn't. But the Lord loves to be reminded of things. The Lord loves to be reminded of his promises. He loves to be reminded of his goodness, of his graciousness. He loves to be told how great and wonderful he is, because he, you know, where Satan gets that from? Said Satan wants to receive glory too. And he does not deserve the glory. God deserves the glory. And God justly so. Satan not so much. But Satan desires glory as well. But we see here that Moses said, Lord, please, would you help? He stood in the gap for these people. What was about to happen to Israel? They were about ready to be destroyed. Did they know it? No, they didn't really have a clue. They were just kind of going on their own way, just continue on in their sin. They didn't know about it. But Moses... And it's interesting that he was right there in supreme fellowship with God. And I believe that we must needs have that fellowship with God so that we might stand in the gap for these people. He was praying for his nation. Lord, would you stay your hand of judgment from these folks? They don't know what they've been doing. Jesus said the same thing on the cross. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank the Lord that he stood in the gap, the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood in the gap, filled the greatest gap that we would ever have, that we could not fill for ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And literally I just kind of sunk in a couple weeks ago. I was thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ literally bore my hell. I should be burning for eternity there, but the Lord Jesus suffered that for me. And as I believe, as that reality sinks in to our minds and our hearts, that will help us to be the witnesses that we ought to be, the Christians that we ought to be. The love of God is a wonderful thing. And I heard a message not too long ago. Brother Scott Pauley, I saw that he was here, and I love Brother Scott Pauley. He's a great blessing. But he preached a message out of 1 Corinthians 13 as saying we need a revival of the love of God. We need to get back to the love of God. If we want to see God's hand at work once again, we need to get back to loving God. And I believe that Moses, here on the Mount Sinai, that he was so in love with God. And he said, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. And you know, as we get close to God, I believe that God will whisper to us. He will tell us the things that are on His heart. He will speak to us. You know, kind of like that shepherd. I love preaching through Psalm 23. I did that. I had the privilege of doing that in Peru. And it was a blessing to my heart and our folks as well. But one of the things that you see is that the sheep who are following closest to the shepherd, those are the ones that gain the greatest blessing. Because they are literally right close, and they could hear the shepherd will speak, "Hey, you old ugly sheep, come on over here." Or he would just say whatever words to those saying, "Hey there, buddy, come on over here. Hey, how you doing?" And he'd reach down and touch them, and the sheep loved to be touched. And as the shepherd was there, and that was just a wonderful thing. But the ones who were way off in the back, they didn't hear those nice words. They didn't hear those encouraging moments with the shepherd. But I believe that as we come in contact with God, as we draw closer to God, that God will give us the desire, not just that, well, I guess I have to pray for him. No, but the desire to pray for others, and the desire to intercede for others' salvation, desire to intercede for our nation, for our families, that God would help us. And also, thinking about the man Moses, I'm just in my Bible reading through the book of Exodus, I believe it was just this morning or yesterday, was reading there Exodus 5, Exodus 6, and Moses is just going into Egypt. He's just prepared. He's gone into Egypt, and God said, Moses said, I can't, Lord. I'm not eloquent. I can't do it. Lord, I need Aaron along. If I don't have Aaron, I can't go. And he said, okay, I'll send Aaron along. But Lord, Moses, God says, I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to help you. But Moses gets there into Egypt, and you know what happens? Pharaoh doubles their burdens, makes it impossible. And at the end of one of the chapters, it says that he sees them in their anguish of their souls. God saw them from heaven. Do you think that those were pleasant days for Moses? I have to think that those were very, very difficult days. And then you think about the prayer of Moses, Psalm 90. If you go to Psalm 90 with me, I'd like to share just one verse that the Lord has really encouraged me with. Psalm 90. This psalm is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, and a wonderful, wonderful psalm. But if you'll go down to verse 12 with me, the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I believe here's Moses, and you think of him back in Exodus and in these difficult places. Do you think that he was saying, "Lord, these are wonderful days. Boy, I feel this is great." I don't think so. But yet, it was his prayer to God that he would be taught how to number his days, how to apply what he saw in every single day to his life. And may the Lord help us through the good times and through the bad times to learn how Moses did, to be able to apply the wisdom to our hearts. And it's interesting that God says, "So teach us to number our days." If God had just said, so just do this, apply it, number your days, then we would say, okay, I'll number my days. But when we say, "So teach us," it's a prayer to God, realizing that we cannot number our days in and of ourselves, that we cannot understand the importance of every moment that God gives, but it's only the God of heaven in His mercy that helps us to understand and to teach us so that we can apply our hearts and take that and be wise people. And God desires for us to be wise. God desires for us to be wise. You know why? It's not necessarily so that everybody can know, look how wise that person is. But it's so that we can be like Moses, interceding for people. So that we can be right there helping folks out in their moment of deepest need. Maybe I don't know, but God knows what everybody's going through. Maybe He doesn't know what I'm going through. Maybe somebody doesn't know, but God knows just what I'm going through, just what you're going through, and He desires to help you through those moments. And what a wonderful thing, what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to intercede for other people. And what a privilege it is for me to stand in the gap. But you know, as we stand there, I think of Ephesians chapter number 6, where it speaks about the armor of God and how we need to put on that armor of God, how it's so necessary. I believe that each day we need to ask the Lord to equip us and to help us to fight that spiritual battle. Let me tell you, Pastor Samples, that you get in Peru, a place where for hundreds of years paganism and religiosity and other things have been preached, and there's a darkness there, and you can feel the spiritual darkness in those days. You can just feel the spiritual war that is going on as you preach, but for then some days you feel, oh, Lord, why do I feel it? And just, you'll know that the devil is at work trying to discourage. But we know that who is ultimately in the end, who is most powerful, and it's the Lord. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's Bible. God can help us and give us the victory in that way. The missionaries, let me tell you, missionaries are not these people who can, oh, I'm going to conquer the world. And they're so brave and they go out and do everything and I'm going to conquer the world for Jesus. Many times it's not that way. I will tell you that one of my the verses I pray so many times is about being fearful. About being fearful. If you go to with me in 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, some days you kind of just see it sort of fearful. Well, Lord, I don't know if these plans are going to work out. Lord, we prayed about this and planned it, but at the end, it kind of a little bit of fear. But you know that fear is not of God. It's not of God. The fear, the perfect love casts out fear. That's why a revival of the love of God in our lives will cast out these nagging fears that keep us from being the Christians that God desires for us to be. And God continues to mold and he continues to make. Why does he bring circumstances in our lives? He permits them for a reason. He permits them for the reason that we might draw closer to him, so that we might understand something more of the grace of God, the mercy of God. And I'll tell you that 4 years ago, the Lord took my brother home to heaven, and it was something very unexpected, but it was he was 29 years old. And in just a week or so, I'm planning to go down and see his my sister-in-law, his wife and my little niece, but it was a very, very difficult time. But through the when I got the lowest, that is when God was the sweetest to me. And he brought me through. And I can honestly tell people, I don't know how people in the world can get through having lost a loved one without the Lord Jesus to guide them and to help them and to comfort them. It's impossible. For me, I would never have been able to get through. But yet you look out in this world, you see so much bitterness. You see people blaming God. You see things going on, and you understand that God is the only one that can heal the deepest needs of the heart, the deepest wounds of the heart. God is the one that heals. And I saw it in my own life. God healed my heart. I don't have any bad memories. I don't think back and think like this against God. Not at all. I say, Lord, thank you for having brought me through that. Even though it was difficult, and we continue to see the difficulties, my sister-in-law and my little niece, and now without a husband and a father, and it's difficult, but yet the Lord had his will and his way, and he helped me to become the person, a little more the person that he wanted me to be. And you know, we went through some difficult times there on the field as well, and the Lord brought into play some of those things I was able to share with folks and say, you know, I know what you're going through. You've lost a loved one. I know what you're going through. But thank the Lord, they're saved. They're in heaven. And that's the greatest hope that a Christian can have. But the Lord is seeking for a man. He's seeking for a woman. He's seeking for us as a church that we would rise up. And we'd say, Lord, would you help me to be used? We didn't even talk about Abraham or others, Jesus, others who stood in the gap, who bridged the gap, who interceded for other people. And without their interceding, something terrible may have happened. Abraham interceded, and Lot, he still wasn't right with God. And lamentably, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah perished. But Abraham begged with God, and he begged God, and God willingly came down to 10 people. He started out with 50. Lord, don't get mad at me, please. 40, 30, 20. He got down to 10. Can you imagine that? Abraham spoke and he interceded and he anguished with God for these people. He cared about them. And I pray that would be the desire of our hearts, that we would care about people. You know, God gives us, I believe that God brings us to a place of trust with a certain group of people. If you have a certain number of friends in your life, you're blessed. a group of five. Someone said if you have just five friends or even a couple, you're a very blessed person. But God gives us a circle of influence for this time. And he wants us to enter into to friendships with people, not necessarily being in accord with what they're doing, but trying to reach out to them for Christ and developing a friendship and a trust to be able to witness to them for the cause of Christ, to be able to pray with for them more intelligently, to be a help to people in the church, to be able to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another. That's not about the gossiping, by the way. That's about people praying for one another, confessing their needs and praying one for another. And I believe that that's what we need here in this church across the nation. We need to pray and intercede for our families. Our families need it. Our churches need it. Our nation needs it. And God, I believe, answered prayer in this past election. I believe that he did. But we need to continue to pray that a great revival would break out and that people would understand and that the fear of God would once again come upon the United States of America. If you look and read our history, you'll find that there were such great godly men. And our secular textbooks don't want to talk about them, but those men down on their knees, shedding tears and losing their fortunes and willing to give everything. I just read a book this week about Nathan Hale. He said they caught him. The British caught him. He was a spy in the Revolutionary War for the Americans. And the British caught him. And he came to before General Howe there on the warship. And General Howe said, "Do you have any last words before we hang you tomorrow?" And he said, "I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country." And he was a faithful, patriotic, God-loving man. But may we be that way as Christians. I only regret that I have but one life to give for my Lord Jesus Christ. Giving our lives for him and praying that the Lord would use us. May we stand in the gap, brethren, tonight. May we do it with the Lord's help. And may he help us to go forward, to pray for others, to reach others for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray.